Ferdinand Marcos Jr., son and namesake of the late dictator, was sworn in today as the 17th president of the Philippines.
Ferdinand Romualdez Marcos Jr.
Ay mataimtim na nanunumpa.
On hand was outgoing President Rodrigo Duterte, who spent his last days in office extending what critics called his record as an autocrat and renewing a crackdown on the press. NPR's Julie McCarthy is our Southeast Asia correspondent and is tracking this from the U.S. right now. Julie, tell us about the ceremony. What kind of tone and message was Marcos trying to cast with this inauguration before more than 100 million people of his country?
Well, it was a baton passing like no other the Philippines has seen. A history came full circle in one of the most remarkable rehabilitations of a disgraced family. The Marcos regime was ousted for abusing human rights and plundering the nation. The family was forced into exile, and today was the culmination of their decades-long bid to regain power. Imelda Marcos may be best known for her shoe collection, but she was once the driving force behind this comeback, and she was there today at 92.
So how do they persuade millions of Filipinos to give them a second chance? I mean, in a landslide, no less.
That's right. Well, they created a myth about themselves. Historians say they rewrote history and whitewashed the crimes of Marcos Jr.'s parents. They also took advantage of public disenchantment with 30 years of successive governments that had failed to improve people's lives. But for those who suffered under martial law imposed by Marcos Jr.'s father 50 years ago, the son becoming president is anathema to them. And that antagonism is likely to hound Marcos through his 6-year term. Today he acknowledged the divisions and extended something of a fig leaf. Here's what he said in his address.
We are here to repair a house divided, to make it whole, and to stand strong again. We shall seek not scorn dialogue, listen respectfully to contrary views, be open to suggestions coming from hard thinking and unsparing judgment.
You know, Marcos will need allies to face his biggest challenge, reviving the Philippine economy. The Philippines was one of the worst hit in the 2-year-long pandemic. I saw it last month in Manila. It was difficult to do even basic things like simple banking, so it's a long road back.
And another time, Marcos's predecessor Duterte ruled as a strongman in his 6-year term. His daughter, Sarah, is now the vice president, elected separately in the system. Any indication that Marcos will opt to stay the course Duterte set?
Well, that's what people are waiting to see. You know, Duterte was this brash character. He threatened and jailed critics. He led a violent anti-drug war that was widely condemned for human rights abuses. But you have Marcos, who is non-confrontational and comes off as collegial. He wouldn't criticize or debate his opponents, and that let him stay above the fray and project himself as a nice guy. On domestic policy substance, analysts told me they expect him to stay that course as long as it's popular. Officials in the United States will be watching to see if Marcos follows Duterte's foreign policy, which tilted towards China. But Washington hopes Marcos will help the U.S. maintain an opposition to China and its expansion into islands in the South China Sea and the areas of the Pacific.
That's NPR's Julie McCarthy on the Philippines' new president installed today. Julie, thanks.
Thank you.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm E. Martinez.